One will commence our time of worship by singing together the Psalm 34 in your hymn book, the Psalm number 34 and the page number 30, singing verses 1 to 7. God will I bless all times his praise. My mouth shall still express, my soul shall boast, and God the meek shall hear with joyfulness. The Psalm number 34 and the page number 30 of your hymn book, singing verses 1 to 7, will stand as we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank that this Sabbath day we're found here in the house of the Lord. We gather, O God, before Thee, our heavenly Father, and we gather in and through our Savior's precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank Thee today afresh for Jesus Christ, the man of Calvary. We thank Thee for that sinless, perfect, spotless life of Christ. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we thank Thee He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, in accordance with Thy plan and purpose. He poured out His life unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we thank Thee for His atoning blood that He shed, that blood that cleanse of us from all sin. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, as Thy people for the spotless robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that has been imputed to us as the people of God. And Father, we rejoice, O God, today that we are accepted in Christ as our Redeemer, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we thank Thee, O God, that we can rejoice today as Thy people in the pardon of our sins. We thank Thee for pardoning grace and pardoning mercy. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the riches of Thy grace. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who abides within our hearts day by day as the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee for that great hope we have, that hope of life everlasting, of everlasting glory, that has been purchased for us by the finished work of the Lamb. And, O God, as we come before Thee to praise Thee, we thank Thee, O God, that we can say with the psalmist that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And, Father, we thank that we can praise Thee, and we thank Thee that Thou art a God who hears, who answers prayer. How the psalmist could say, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. We thank thee, O God, for that presence of the Lord and that protection of the Lord. That thou said that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And Father, we thank that day by day we can rest secure in the hand of the Lord. And Father, we return thee thanks for all thy blessings, even in the week that has gone by, for all the temporal mercies of life that thou dost give to us. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless our coming together here in thy house today, from this opening psalm to the final amen tonight, that thy presence and blessing, O God, would be known amongst us here, and that, Lord, thou would be with us, that thou would bless us, O God, that thou, Lord, would be one of our number, O God, we pray. We thank you for all who've been able to come today. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Remember every Christian in this meeting. Strengthen us in our faith, in our walk with God. Draw us closer, Lord, to thee. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might in these days in which we live. Lord, those going through times of trial or difficulty, may they know the strengthening hand of God upon them. Others perhaps needing a word of counsel or guidance, we pray that thou wilt show them and teach them thy way. And for any, Lord, cold at heart, may they know thy restoring touch within their life and heart and soul today. And Father, for any with us today unsaved, out of Christ, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even today they might turn away from their sin in faith and in repentance and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, those unable to be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, bless them, minister to them by the grace of God divine. Others in hospital at this time, may they know the presence and the nearness and the strengthening hand of God. And others from our fellowship and holiday, may they know thy blessing and, Lord, refreshing touch that comes from thee. We thank thee for the recommencement again of our Sabbath school and Bible class, and for thy hand of blessing upon our children and young people, even over the summer season. Lord, bless them this year. Bless our Sunday school. Add to it, we pray. Bless the teachers as they break their bread of life to our children week by week. And Father, we pray that this year thou wilt give the teachers that great joy of leading boys and girls to Christ, and those who are saved, that they will see them following on in the ways of the Lord and growing up to serve thee, O God, we ask. Do remember our young people, Lord, those that maybe have left school or changing schools at this time or moving on to further education or maybe going out into employment. We pray that the hand of God will be upon them, that they will know thy presence and blessing and protection, we pray, and that thou wilt lead them, O Lord, in the ways of the Lord, we ask of thee. Father in heaven, we do pray, O God, for the youth fellowship. We pray for the children's meetings, the work of Bethel Crusade. And, O Lord, these ministries as they recommence in the autumn time, may your hand of blessing be upon them for good. Father in heaven, we pray for our lamb today. Remember all our sister congregations for good. We pray that thou would bless every minister, every student, every layman who will preach thy word. May the hand of God be upon them for good. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed across this land, this nation, north and south of the border, we think of the mainland of Britain as well. Bless every faithful testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Build thy church. And grant that even in these days in which we live, O God, that we might see days of refreshing and reviving from the presence of the Lord. Have mercy, Lord, upon our land and our nation. We pray for days of reformation again, for those that rule in our nation, oh, that they might realize their responsibility, Lord, to rule in accordance with thy word, and those that would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to the word of God. We pray, Lord, that thou would bring their plans, O God, to nothing. O God, we pray. And for those that profess thy name, O God, in government, that they might be given grace, O God, to stand for thee and for the ways of thy word. Have mercy, Lord, upon our royal family. We pray that the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household, we pray, and that their hearts and minds might be enlightened in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, bless our missionaries today. We thank thee for those that labor here at home, and Lord, those that labor further afield. We pray that thy hand of blessing will be upon them, meet their needs, keep them safe, give them health and strength, we ask of thee. And Lord, use them for thy glory and for thine honor, we pray. Remember again the land of Ukraine. We pray that thou would intervene in mercy in that land, and that there might be peace and stability in that land, that the Lord, thou would protect especially the witness of thy people there, we pray, and that thou would use them, O God, for your honor and for your glory. Bless all our homes and our families and our wider family circles. We do commend them all to thee, O God. We pray that thou would unite them all in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou, Lord, would meet every need. Bless us now, we pray. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and grant that in everything that is said and done from this pulpit today, that Christ would be honored, Christ would be glorified. We pray for a very gracious sense of thy presence in our meetings today, O God, and that thou would visit this house today with salvation, and that we might know each one of your people, the blessing of the Lord afresh, resting and abiding upon our hearts and upon our souls. Bless us now, lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit, and magnify the name of Christ, in whose name we do pray and ask all these things. Amen. Turning again, please, in our hymn book, the hymn number 64, the hymn number 64. In your hymn book, there is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven, the name before his wondrous birth to Christ the Savior given. Hymn number 64, we'll stand as we sing. Bible with you today, would ask you to turn please to the Old Testament book of Song of Solomon and to the chapter number 2. You'll find the Song of Solomon in the middle part of the Old Testament. You come to the Psalms, the Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon. We're reading today from Song of Solomon chapter 2, beginning a reading at the verse number 1, just going down to the end of the verse 13. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this day. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind the wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in her land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 13. And our prayer is that the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of God's precious and holy word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day. Good to see all who have gathered with us today. We bid you all a very special welcome in the name of our Savior. And if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. May you feel at home. If you're a believer, may you be strengthened today, led on with the Lord. And if you're still unsaved out of Christ, at this day our prayer is that you'll put your faith and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And to those also may be viewing online, we thank you for joining with us. We pray the Lord will bless you also around God's word and through his word and truth today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the front. There, encourage as many as possible to gather for prayer. And then the gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. I belong to bring God's word. And our brother, Mr. Stephen Patterson from Kilkeel, will belong to minister in song. Do please pray for the meeting. Plan to join with us again. We encourage all to come along, young and old alike, under the sound of the gospel. And pray for the meeting. Do all you can to invite and encourage others in. And being the first Sunday of the month is building fun offering. So do remember that, please. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. is our midweek prayer meeting. And it will be the box opening of Bethel Children's Crusade and also the report on the spring and summer work by our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore. So remember that. She'll be coming to give an update on the work of the children over the summer and spring season. And we thank the Lord for all his mercies to this work over this past number of months. So do come along and encourage your sister as she gives that report an update. Friday morning sees the recommencement again of the monthly open-air gospel witness at 11 a.m. at the Diamond in Enniskillen with our brother Colin Maxwell and myself. Pray for that and pray that God would bless his word. And if you're in the town in the morning, it's just for half an hour. Come and join with us for that season. Friday night here in the church, 8 p.m., is the restart again of the Young People's Fellowship. We commend that to all the young people 11 years of age and over. All young people are welcome and come along and bring their friends. Our brother, Mr. Ian Muir, will be speaking on that opening night of the fellowship. And next Lord's Day, the 10th of September, a Sabbath School and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half of prayer. We'll belong to bring God's word. The ladies' fellowship meeting will be Monday night week. That's Monday night, the 11th of September at 8 p.m. The speaker is her sister, Miss Pat Mills, the former missionary to the Jews in the city of Toronto. And she'll be doing the Passover table, setting up the Passover table that night, and looking at the spiritual lessons from the items and all that is involved in the Passover feast. So do remember that. Pray for that meeting. Make it known. And trust as many as possible will gather. All ladies are welcome, and welcome also to bring their friends with them. The Bethel Crusade meetings also recommence next week. That's the week beginning the 11th of September, the regular meetings. Pray for those. There is a need for more helpers in the meetings. And also, all new children are welcome. If you can help in any way in this ministry, whatever way, do speak to our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, and she'll be glad to help you, and she'll be glad of that assistance. Let the Bible Speak offering on Tuesday night past came to £1,084.60, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. And then the Let the Bible Speak magazines are also available there. Those are free. Take them as you leave. Just some other announcements I want to draw to your attention in connection with our work of our wider presbytery. Do please pray for the Consider Christ outreach this Saturday, the 9th of September, down to Maynooth and Kildare. And if anyone wishes to help with that, let us know. Tomorrow night also in our Six Mile Cross Church, there's a prayer meeting at 8 p.m. for the work of Consider Christ outreach. Monday night, the 11th of September, 8 p.m. in our Martyrs Memorial Church, it's the Whitfield College graduation service, and all are welcome there. And then the following Monday night, the 18th of September, in our Dungannon Church at 8 p.m. is the annual ladies' rally. The speaker there is Mrs. Vi Dawson, singer Charlotte Coughey, and Mr. Peter Mander. All ladies welcome. And then on Saturday, the 30th of September, at 7 p.m. in our Martyrs Memorial Church, there's a rally been organized against this new RSE curriculum that is coming into schools now, or been sought to be brought in by our government. And there's a rally really highlighting the dangers and the evils of that curriculum. And the speaker is our brother, Mr. Colin Webster, from the Christian Institute. And all are welcome there. Let the Bible Speak are having a 50th anniversary dinner, Friday the 22nd of September in Martyrs, 7:30. All are welcome. Details are in the Let the Bible Speak magazine. Also, our education board are having a series of province ride rallies again, highlighting the errors and the evils of that RSE curriculum. There's leaflets about those rallies. There's one also that will be local to here. That is in the Eccleville Centre on Friday night, the 29th of June at 7:30. And the speaker there is the Reverend Brian McClung from our education board. Friday night, the 15th of September, in our Clochar Valley Church, there's a service marking the Williamite settlement at Protestant Troon. Preacher there, the Reverend Peter McIntyre, all are welcome. Also, do please pray for Brother Mr. David Wilson, a licentiate minister of our presbytery, who has accepted a call to be the minister of our church in Ballyclare. So do pray for him. And then also the new moderator of our presbytery is the Reverend Samuel Murray, and the deputy moderator, the Reverend Ian Brown, shall pray for these brethren as they take up these roles. And then I would also ask you to pray for Mr. Jonathan Jordan. He's a fourth-year student from our Whitfield College of the Bible, and his wife Claire. They lost their little baby this past week, a 9-month-old baby, went to be with the Lord on Thursday past, a great time of loss for the family and deep, deep sorrow. So pray for them, that they'll know much of the Lord's comfort and grace and strength at this time of tremendous loss. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 392, a wonderful hymn of testimony. Blessed lily of the valley, oh, how fair is he is mine, I am his. Sweeter than the angel's music is his voice to me. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the plates as you leave the offering to God's work. 392, keeping our seats while we sing. final verse. Again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to the Song of Solomon and to the chapter number 2. And with God's Word open before us, let us just look to the Lord in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee in prayer, we think very especially today of our brother, Mr. Jonathan Jordan, and his wife, Claire, and that whole family and family circle at this time of great need. We pray that Thou would bless them, that Thou would comfort them, that they would know much of Thy presence and nearness and grace, that Thou would help them through this difficult time. And Lord, that even through this, that Thou would speak to family members not saved and loved ones not saved, and that Thou would draw to Christ and give help even in that funeral service tomorrow. Lord, bless us now as we turn to Thy precious Word and to Thy holy truth. Lord, speak to us now afresh from Thy Word. Lord, open up every heart like Lydia's of old, from the very youngest to the oldest. We thank that the Word of God is not bound, that it is quick and powerful, and that Thou hast promised, Lord, that it will not return unto Thee void. Bless Thy Word to the salvation of sinners in this house today. Bless Thy Word, O God, to the sanctifying and the strengthening of the saints of God in this house today. And Lord, bless Thy Word to the exaltation and the glorifying of Christ. Fill me now afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Give wisdom, give guidance, give counsel, give direction. Grant that every word and every thought would be of Thee, that nothing would be said that is not of Thee. And we pray that Thou would bless and apply Thy Word to all our hearts and to those who would listen in online as well, as Thou would see our need. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text of Scripture for today is the verse number 10 of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, as we read through the book of the Song of Solomon, we see the believer represented by the bride or the spouse. Then we see also Christ represented through the beloved, or the bridegroom. And in verses 8 to 13 of the second chapter of the book, we have the bride, or if you like, the believer, speaking about her beloved, who is Christ, the Son of God. And in verse number 10, our text, the bride here tells of what Christ said unto her. She says, my beloved speak, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And in this message that Christ had for His people, we see how He describes His people in a very particular way. He describes His people as my love, my fair one. Those are terms and titles of endearment. He says, rise up, my love, my fair one, my fair one. And those words there, my love, they remind us of the fact that the Lord loves all His saved people, all His own redeemed people with a very special and signal and particular love. And that love is an eternal love. It's a love that knows no end, that it is everlasting. The Lord says to His people,
In the book of Jeremiah, he says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And then this title also, my fair one, it reminds us of the fact that when the Lord looks upon his people, he sees them as his fair ones. In other words, he sees them as those whose sins are forgiven, blotted out, cancelled out through the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not only does he see his people as those who are forgiven, but he also sees his people who are arrayed and covered in the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that is imputed to every believer in salvation. Speaking of that very fact and that blessed assurance in his own heart, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the Lord and he says, "He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." And dear child of God, believer in the meeting this morning, let me say this. This is how God views you today and sees you at this very moment in time. This is how he views you in Christ. He views you as one who is the special object of his love and favor. He views you and sees you as one of his fair ones whose sins are forgiven, pardoned by the blood of Christ. One who is arrayed and covered with the perfect robe of Christ's righteousness given to you in salvation. This is how God views his people, as his fair ones, as his love. And you know, people, whenever we think about that, is there not there a lesson for us as Christians? Is there not there an example for us as believers also to view God's people, our fellow believers in Christ, our fellow brethren and sisters in Christ also, with respect and with the compassion of the Lord toward us and toward them in Christ? Always remember this, dear child of God, that your fellow believer in the Lord who is saved, that their sins are forgiven under the blood of Christ, and that they're one of God's fair ones, accepted before the Lord, redeemed and covered in the robe of Christ, a perfect righteousness. Now in our text here today, we have the Lord, and he is calling his people. He is calling his people to himself. The bride says here, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And here we see a great truth, a great lesson that is really part and parcel of Scripture from Genesis right through to Revelation. And it is this truth that the Lord is one who calls his people. Over in the book of Isaiah, he says there to his people, "I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." And all God's people are God's called ones, God's ones who are called out by the Lord. So we would consider then this great truth of the call of the Lord toward his people. There's a number of thoughts I want to share with you, a number of lessons I believe that come to our hearts and minds, even from the words of our text today. First of all, we can say today that these words in our text, they remind us, first of all, of the Lord's call to his people in salvation. The Lord says here, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Think of that little word "come" there in the verse. Underline it in your verse. It's really a great word of invitation. Back in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, there you have God inviting Noah and his family to come into the ark to be saved from the flood and the judgment. And he says, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." There he was inviting, calling Noah and his family not only to deliverance from the flood, but to salvation. And all through the Bible, God uses this word continually to invite people to trust him, to come to the Lord for salvation, to come to the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins, and that they might be sure and certain one day of a home in heaven and a home in glory. Turn in your Bible over just to the next book, the book of Isaiah, to the first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. You go down there to verse 18 in the chapter, and here we have one of these great gospel invitations of the Lord to his people. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What an invitation. And child of God, today it was by you hearing this invitation, not just in your ear, but in your heart from the Lord. And by God working in your heart by His Holy Spirit, that you responded to that invitation as a repentant sinner, and you put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation, and you were saved by God's grace and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. Indeed, that is how it is with every child of God, whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are to be found, whatever color of skin they might have, whatever their station in society is, all of God's people have been called by the Lord, even unto salvation. You think of the words of the hymn writer that we often love to sing. The hymn writer says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he hath made me glad. And that was the testimony of the hymn writer. And child of God, that's your testimony today. That is my testimony today. And it is a call through the grace of God to all of our hearts and lives in salvation. Oh, how thankful we should be, how full of praise we should be as Christians that the Lord did not pass us by and leave us with the multitudes to perish in our sin. But there was a time when the Lord came by, drew very near, spoke to our hearts, showed us our need as a lost sinner before God, and drew us. The hymn writer says, he drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess his voice to thine. He drew us to himself in repentance and faith unto Christ for salvation. And dear Christian, this is something that you and I should thank God for every day of our lives, that we've been saved by God's grace and by his grace called into the family, the fold of God. Am I speaking to one in the meeting today and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you're still in nature's night and nature's darkness in this meeting, still on the broad road to a lost eternity in hell? Let me say this, if you are to be saved, if you are to be right with God, if you are to know your sins forgiven, if you're to be sure of heaven one day, you must heed this invitation also. You must heed the call of God and the gospel and come unto Christ just as you are, as a poor and needy sinner. Confess your sins to Christ and put your faith, put your trust in Jesus Christ and in his finished work, in his shed blood alone for the pardoning of your sins and the salvation of your souls. Speaking of his people and all who will be saved, Christ says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting today not saved, you must come to Christ. Come and take your place before him as a sinner, lost and undone. Confess your sins to him. Trust in his blood alone. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And as you read through the Bible, you cannot escape this fact. You cannot escape this call of God and the gospel to your heart. Oh, that today, if you're not saved, you would hearken and heed the voice of God that calls you to salvation. This may be the last time. This may be the last Sabbath morning that you might ever hear that call of God and the gospel to come to Christ and get saved and get right with God. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yes, the Lord, he calls his people to salvation. But secondly, we can say as we think further of our text that these words also remind us of the Lord's call to his people to restoration. Our text says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And yes, the Lord's call here to restoration in our text is also highlighted by these words, rise up. Think of those words in the text, rise up. And those words in themselves really depict the believer who has fallen down, who is in a low spiritual condition. Therefore, if these words rise up, The Lord is calling his child back to himself, back to the place of restoration. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 14, Hosea chapter 14, one of the minor prophets after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 14 and the verse number 1 of the chapter. Here the Lord is calling his people to restoration in the day of the prophet Hosea. And he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Here the Lord is speaking through his servant Hosea. He's the preacher and he's calling his ancient people back to himself, back to that place of restoration with God. And dear Christian in the meeting this day, let me ask you the question, how is it with you today? How is it in your walk with God and your fellowship with the Lord? Is it the case that you've drifted away from the Lord, that you've got away from the Lord and the things of the Lord? Well, in his restoring mercy to your soul, the Lord comes to your heart. He comes to your soul today through his word and our text. And he says, rise up and come away. He says, rise up and come away from those things. Whatever those things are that have hindered your walk and your fellowship with the Lord as a Christian, he says, return unto me and I will return unto you. He says, come away from anything that hinders your walk, your fellowship with the Lord as a believer. And dear Christian, in returning to the Lord, you'll know his blessing afresh in your heart. And you'll know his restoring touch, his restoring grace in your soul, because the Lord says in his word that he is married to the backslider. Oh, don't go away from the Lord. Don't, as it were, go your own way or do your own thing as a Christian. To seek to walk with God day by day, walk in the light of his word and the light of his truth. And things have crept into your heart and life that have hindered your fellowship, your walk with God. You need to rise up from those things. Need to come away from those things. Have done with those things. And come afresh to the Lord and walk with the Lord and heed his word and his will for your life. Yes, these words remind us of the Lord's call in salvation. The Lord's call in restoration. But we see also something else here in our text. These words also remind us of the Lord's call to his people to prayer. The Lord says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And it's an invitation, and all through his word, the Lord is inviting, calling you and I as believers to the place of prayer, to the place of communion with him, and seeking his face and calling upon his name. In Psalm 27, verse 8, he says to you and I who are saved, he says, seek ye my face. That's his command to us as Christians, to seek his face in prayer. In the book of Hosea, it says it is time to seek the Lord. As you and I go throughout life as Christians, we're to seek the Lord in prayer. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says, continue in prayer. In other words, continue seeking God. Continue calling upon his name. Continue looking to the Lord in faith for blessing. If you look at verses 11, 12, and 13 of this chapter 2 of Song of Solomon before us, you see here how the bride, she speaks of the arrival of springtime. She says in verse 11, lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard, as the turtle dove is heard in her land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. There she is speaking about springtime. And whenever you and I think of spring, we think of new growth. We think of vigor, of new life. And that's really what revival is. It is new growth, new vigor, new life for the things of God and the life of the individual Christian and in the life of the Church of Christ itself. And dear child of God, if you and I, yes, if we are to know revival in our hearts and lives personally as Christians, if we are to see revival in God's work here in Enniskillen and in County Fermanagh, indeed further afield, then it's vital, it is absolutely essential that we pray, that we seek the Lord for his help and blessing
in our lives and in the work of God. There can be no dispensing with prayer. Think of the Sabbath school work. Think of the children's work, the youth fellowship, all recommencing now in the autumn season. Think of the mission that will be upon us at the end of October here in the church. Oh, it is vital in all these things and in all the ongoing witness of this church week by week that we pray. And how vital then it is, dear Christian, that you come to the prayer meeting and you seek the Lord in the place of prayer, public prayer and private prayer. How vital it is, dear child of God, that you and I be found in the place of prayer. And I encourage you, child of God, even as we entered into a new season and God's work, to make it your business, to do all you can to come to the seasons of prayer, the public seasons of prayer before the services on the Lord's Day, the public season of prayer during the midweek. Do all you can to be there. God will bless you. I've no doubt of that whatsoever. Not only will He bless you, but He will make you a blessing. And how vital it is if we're to know God's reviving touch and God's reviving power in our lives individually as Christians and in our church and in our congregation, that we pray and that we seek God. We cannot rest upon past blessings. How we need to seek the Lord afresh. And God, He gives us a wonderful promise in His Word. He says, if you seek Me and search for Me with all your heart, He says, I will be found of you. And He calls us today to prayer. Dear Christian, heed that call to prayer. Don't set aside prayer in your life. Don't set aside the church prayer meeting. Do all you can to be at the place of prayer with God's people. Then we see something else from our text here today. Not only are we reminded of the call to prayer and restoration and salvation, but these words also remind us, I believe, of the Lord's call to His people to Christian service. The Lord says, rise up, my love, and farewell, and come away. And these words, yes, they serve as a reminder to you and I of how the Lord calls His people to serve Him. And we see that call all through the Bible. Whenever Israel were down in the bondage and the servitude of Egypt, what did God do? He came to them and he called an individual. He called a man by Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage through the wilderness to the verge of the very promised land itself. Turning your Bible back to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. And look with me, please, at verses 10 and 11 and 12 of this chapter. And here we have the Lord calling Moses. And it was a very dark day for the nation of Israel. They had been in bondage for hundreds of years. They were a people who were greatly weakened and discouraged by that bondage. It was a time of great darkness, but God did not desert them. He didn't forsake them, and He called a man. He raised up a man by the name of Moses. And here we have the Lord coming to Moses, particularly regarding this call. In verse 10 of Exodus chapter 3, He says, come now, therefore, He says, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. And remember who Pharaoh was. He probably was the leader of the most militant and the greatest empire of the world at that particular time. He was a man of great earthly force and power. God says to Moses, come and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? And Moses realized his own weakness, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then look at the assurance, look at the promise that the Lord gives him in verse 12. He said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have not sent thee. But when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The Lord gave him that wonderful promise. He says, certainly, I will be with you. Christian, mark that promise in your Bible. Underline it. And Christian, whatever God gives you to do, whatever He calls you to do, whatever aspect of God's work that is, that's a promise for you to lean upon, to depend upon, that the Lord says, certainly, I will be with you. And who is the Lord? Well, look at verse 14 of that chapter. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. What a title that is. That means God who is eternal, who is almighty, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, who is all-sustaining. This was the one who said to Moses, certainly I will be with thee. And Christian, this is the same one, because God never changes, who says to you today as a Christian, as you step out to serve the Lord, he says, certainly I will be with thee. The great I am, who knows no change. You remember again that dark time in Israel's history later on, in the time of the judges, when they're overrun again by the Midianites. They come in and they plundered the land, and they took away the harvest and the crops. But again, God did not desert Israel. He came again to them and he raised up another man by the name of Gideon. And this is what God said to Gideon. He says, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Midian, go forth in the might of God, and I will be with you, I will help you, I will strengthen you. That is how God deals in calling his people to serve him. You think of the time of the great Protestant Reformation, something that every Christian should thank God for, perhaps the greatest spiritual awakening there has been in the history of the Church of Christ. And all through the Protestant Reformation, there were many whom God called and God raised up to serve him and to preach the gospel and to spread the truth of God's word and the light of God's word in those very dark days. And you don't need me today to emphasize to you, dear Christian, we too are living in a dark day, a very dark day, end times. And they seem to be getting darker and darker each day as you hear what's going on in society. But still, dear Christian, the Lord is not forsaking his church. He's not forsaking his people, and still the Lord is calling his people. He's calling you and I to serve him, to be a witness for him, to hold forth the torch of the gospel for him in this dark day, and to spread his word and to spread his light in our daily lives and wherever else the Lord leads us and calls us to. The Lord says, son, go work today in my vineyard. We're to work today in God's vineyard. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Oh, that we would respond like Isaiah of old and say, here am I, send me. O child of God, it is only what you and I do for Christ, only what we do for Christ, that will stand the test of time, stand the test of eternity. As we've entered into the autumn season, let us give ourselves afresh to God's work. Let there be no holding back. When there's a need, let us give ourselves to that need. Remember the promise, dear Christian. The Lord says, certainly I will be with you. You can rest upon that promise. God will not fail. He calls his people to salvation, to restoration, to prayer, to Christian service. Something else we can say further in relation to our text today. These words also are a reminder of how the Lord calls his people to suffer. He calls his people to suffer. He says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And these words serve as a reminder of this truth, that the Lord calls his people to suffer. You go back to verse 2 of this chapter, the beginning of that verse, and see there how the Lord describes his people in this world. He says, As the lily among the thorns. You think about the thorns. We all know what thorns mean. They speak of pain. They speak of that which pierces us. They really speak of suffering. And here the Lord likens his people, his church, as a lily among the thorns. In other words, he's telling us, he's teaching us that there may be many thorns along the way of the life of a Christian. Many times of suffering and trial and tribulation. It is something we cannot escape. Yes, as believers, we can be called to suffer reproach for the gospel, and that is something that we cannot escape from as Christians. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's absolutely certain. If we live godly in Christ, we shall suffer reproach, persecution of one kind or another. And then also as believers as well, we can be called to suffer
through illness. And we read of this being the case with individuals in the Scriptures. This was the case with Trophimus, who labored with the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy. Paul said, "But Trophimus have I left sick at Miletus." He had to be led aside, even in the work of God, through sickness. Think of how Paul again describes Epaphroditus, a fellow soldier with him, a fellow laborer with him in the gospel. And he says, Epaphroditus was sick, he says, nigh unto death. He knew what it was to be sick and ill and to suffer bodily infirmity. And you know, whenever you and I suffer as Christians, and we cannot escape suffering in this life, but when we suffer as Christians, remember this, believer, you have the promise. The promise of the Lord's presence. And you have the promise of the Lord's grace. The Lord says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. Through the waters of suffering and trial, he says, I will be with you. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. When we suffer from that thorn in the flesh, that illness, that sickness, whatever it is, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And by his presence, by his grace in the trial, our faith will be strengthened. We'll be able to witness for the Lord, and we'll also be able to minister comfort and consolation to others in need, to others in trial. Turn your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at what Paul says here about this very fact, about the Lord's comfort and the purpose of that in comforting others in other people's lives and situations. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 4. He says of the Lord, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And there Paul was writing to the believers, writing to the Christians, and reminding them, yes, there was trouble. God gave comfort, but there was a purpose in that giving of God's comfort. It was that they would be a blessing, a help, an encouragement to others in their trials, in their difficulties, in their times of conflict and trial. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 29. It shows us this fact that sufferings cannot be escaped by the Christian, by the child of God in this life, in this scene of time. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and the verse number 29. The Lord says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, notice it, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. And there Paul was writing to encourage these Christians. They were suffering. And he says, this is the same conflict that you've heard about in me and in my ministry and my service for the Lord. He was reminding them of the truth that there are thorns along life's pathway for the Christian. And the Lord calls us to suffer, to bear reproach for him, for the gospel. He calls us even at times in his sovereign will and purpose to suffer ill health and bodily infirmity. And we'll only understand the reason for that in heaven and in heaven's glory itself. Yes, he calls his people to suffer. One final thought in connection with our text, and it is this. These words also remind us of the great truth that one day the Lord calls all his people home to heaven. And all his people home to glory. He says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. There's a day when the Lord will call us all away from this scene of time to be with himself and to be with him in glory. And with that call, he will bring us safely, each one as Christians, through the shadow of death and into heaven, where we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. Turn back with me to Psalm number 23, and you see there how David makes reference to that very same call in his own life as a Christian. In verse 4 and verse 6 of the Psalm, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David knew
was a time when the Lord would call him away from this world, from this scene of time. And it's the same with you and I. Over there in Song of Solomon chapter 2, if you go down to verse number 17, it says there, until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Yes, heaven is a place of eternal light, where all earth's shadows, whatever those shadows are dispelled and flee away. The Bible describes heaven as a place that is far better. The Lord is there in all His fullness. It's a place where there are no more fears, no more temptations. A place where there are no more trials. A place where there is no more sin. You go home today, read Revelation 21, 22. You'll read there, you'll get a glimpse of heaven. And heaven is a home that is sure, that is certain for all God's people. Not one of God's redeemed people will ever be lost. Listen to what Christ prays. And Christ's prayers were always answered by His heavenly Father. In John 17 and verse number 24, He says, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Dear Christian, today, because of the redeeming work of Christ, you can look forward to that time when the Lord calls you home. Calls you home to heaven, home to glory. Yes, with the hymn writer, you'll be able to say, oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Dear unsaved friend, let me say this. If you are to be delivered from the wrath to come, if you're to be sure of heaven, sure of glory, then now in time you must look by faith to Christ, repent of your sin, and trust Him as your Savior. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then when you're saved, you too will have this hope, the hope of heaven, the hope of glory. And you can look forward to that time when Christ will come and call you to be with Himself forevermore. Paul said it is to be with Christ, he says, which is far better. David spoke of heaven as the place of fullness of joy. He says there's pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. Oh, he's speaking of the great joy and jubilation of heaven, of glory for the saints of God, His called ones, whom He calls in salvation, calls to serve Him throughout their life, and one day calls them home to heaven. Calls them home to glory. Tell me, dear friend, would you be among that great multitude in heaven? The called ones of God, saved and redeemed forevermore by the precious blood of Christ. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 454. 454. The Master has come and He calls us to follow. The track of the footprints He leaves in the way, far over the mountains and through the deep hollow. The path leads us on to the mansions of day 454. We'll stand as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Write Thy Word, write this text upon all our hearts. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Father, we thank that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, that Thou wilt never leave nor fail nor forsake the people of God, that Thou wilt bring all Thy redeemed children safely one day into the glory, into heaven's bright home forevermore. For any, Lord, in the meeting today not saved, speak to them, save them, may they come to Christ. Help us, Lord, as Your people day by day to live in the light of that holy calling that Thou hast given to us in Christ, that we might walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God day by day. We pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.